You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
And tonight, we are...
Hey Queens, what's going on? It is Josh here and welcome back to the Queendom Podcast for another awesome week of your sixth musical related content brought right to your earbuds. And this episode is an exciting one. As all our episodes are, and I say pretty much every week, we are heading to our last cast. We have ticked every cast off so far, guys. Whoa, that's crazy. Becca Wicks is joining us from Bliss 2.0, and she is the Catherine Howard out there. And yeah, we have an amazing chat this week, and I can't wait to get stuck in. So without further ado, you know what time it is, Queens. As always, it is time to get down. Here we go.
Stop me, 'cause I'm the queen of the castle. Get down, you dirty rascal. Get down.
A couple of quick questions just to kind of loosen things up. And then we just get stuck in, have a chat about anything and everything. Feel free to run with things as long as you want to, as short as you want to. It is all up to you. I'm just going to try and make my computer run as fast as possible because I've got a million windows open.
I'm just going to plug my charger in as well, just so I don't lose.
That is all good. I am used to dealing with technical malfunctions, people dropping out. I had someone's internet completely cut off on them the other day.
Oh, no.
It's good fun.
All right. So I am absolutely obsessed with your collection of playbills behind you.
Thanks. So it's three tall and then runs... Oh, I just lost my screens.
Oh, my God. That's mad.
Yes. I just lost one of my screens. Just give me a second. I have now just unplugged myself. Okay, I've got you there. Come on. Reconnect. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come back to me. All right, we're up and running. Cool. Sorry, my whole computer just froze and I was like, oh,
no,
not
you're
now.
Fine.
All right, let's get stuck in. We've hit record. Let's get a rolling, hey? Hey, Queens, and welcome back to the Queendom Podcast. I am here with the amazing Becca Wicks from Bliss 2.0. Hey, Beck, how are you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am fabulous. Guys, this is a milestone. Becca ticks off the complete kind of, I'm going to call it casto. It's like bingo, but we've hit every professional cast. We just need somebody from the OG, like school performance, and we're set. So, Becca... You're ticking off all the boxes.
I am honored to be here. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. So first of all, if you could have any animal as a pet, what would it be?
Oh, a chimpanzee.
Oh, yes.
I love them. I just want to cuddle them. They're so cute.
Either that or a monkey. Just some form of, just because they just...
Like an orangutan, a monkey, anything like that.
Yeah.
I'd love.
Sign me up. Or we go tiny and get a meerkat. That would be my only alternative there. Beach or bed?
Beach. Always beach.
Always. Tacos?
So I say that again?
Go.
No, I'll say what I would do right now is be lying on a beach with a cocktail in my hand. Honestly, not a care in the world. Instead, we're all in bed, so.
Right. Complete opposite of where we want to be right now.
I know.
Tacos or burritos?
Tacos. Well, that was a hard one.
Yeah. I couldn't even answer that one myself. It depends on what I'm feeling on the day. Speaking of cocktails, what's your go-to drink on a night out?
Go-to drink. I'm a Jack Daniels and Diet Coke kind of girl.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
I love
that's
that.
Always everyone's always like, what, whiskey? And I'm like, yeah,
whiskey and bourbon. Let's
yeah,
roll.
I love it.
Yes,
that's
all right.
About.
Now let's get into talking why we're actually here, and that is the wonderful thing called musical theatre and six. What was your introduction to musical theatre? How did you get into performing and being on stage?
So I kind of have a very cliche story. I've just always done it. Since I was about five or six, I've always had a massive interest for it. And I started going to a musical theatre school from a very, very young age, a Saturday school. And then it kind of just grew from there. So when I was young, I went to musical theatre school on the weekends, and then that progressed into dance classes throughout the week. So I used to go to dance class Monday to Friday as well. And then as I went through school, there was the subjects that I chose to study at school. And then after school, I went to university. So I did a 3-year musical theatre programme, a degree, I mean. And then, yeah, so it's kind of been something I've always done. There's just, for me, there's never really, I should have a backup. But I've just never like had time to, I've just never wanted to do anything else. I think it's, but it's weird though, because like nobody in my family comes from that background. Like I don't have anyone in my family who's also a performer. It's kind of just me. I don't really know where it came from. I think, I don't know, it's just, it's always been something I've just had a massive passion for from such a young age. And where I've got like the most like supportive parents, they just let me do whatever classes I wanted to take. And it kind of just grew from there. Yeah. So
that is
it's been
amazing.
It's been my life.
Yeah, that's so cool. Before we jump into six, and I mentioned this when we were setting up this episode, I want to touch on another show that you're in. And if you guys follow Becca on Instagram, you will have 100% seen pictures of this character. And this is Scaramouche from We Will Rock You. We Will Rock You holds a special place in my heart. It was one of the first shows I did as a performer as well. So talk to me about Scara and your experience with We Will Rock You.
So We Will Rock You was my first job out of college. So I left college in the July, and then I booked this job in the September time. So this was really fresh out of college. Sorry, my WhatsApp just went off. And this, like, for me, like the biggest learning experience I've ever had was We Will Rock You. I think everyone's first job is always where you learn the most about like who you are as a performer, who you are as a person, like how you hold yourself in a room, how you work with like creatives and that. And for me, like Scara was a dream role for me when I was a young girl. So being able to book this job was a dream come true. And I had the most rewarding year performing her. She is honestly the funniest, most amazing, gorgeous character to play. Like there's so much you can do with Scara, and you know, she's so lovable. Like even though she's got this like this fire, this feisty side to her, she is so lovable. And I think she was so exciting to play, and the audience always love her. Like they love her little one-liners. Like, she's so witty, she's always on the ball. And the guy who played my Galileo, like when we was acting on stage and that, it was like we was just talking in real life. Like that's how like our conversations went. And it was so natural, and it was an amazing show to be in. And I'm so grateful to have had that opportunity. So grateful.
That is so cool. I've got another friend that played Scara on the Australian tour down here. And she came to see our amateur production on our opening night, which was so sick to have her there. So Scara holds a special place in my heart, and so does We Were Rocky. It's just a fantastic, fantastic show.
It really, really is.
Here's something I want to pitch to you. As a professional, is there a difference between doing a jukebox musical and an original score? Like going from We Will Rock You to six, is it different learning the show when you know the songs compared to needing to learn the songs?
That's a hard one, because whenever I go into learning a show, like into the rehearsal process, I try so hard to steer clear from what the recording sound like. So with any show, you can listen to the recordings, you can listen to the soundtracks, but especially with jukebox musicals, you have to really try and detach yourself from what you already know, and kind of go in with like with a fresh mindset, and just let the musical director teach you the way that is wanted to be taught and like intended to be taught. And sometimes that is hard, when especially I've grown up listening to Queen.
Yeah.
So like when you go into, as many people have, and when you go into that rehearsal room, you've got such a fixated brain on what you think the song is meant to sound like. But you just have to be really open and really relaxed, but just like trusting that you know, it's you're gonna learn new things along the way. Things are gonna change. But I think, as I said, I think that's the same with any show, because every recording is so easy to listen to these days. Like, you can get any soundtrack of any show.
Yeah.
So you just have to like be really cautious of detaching yourself from what you think it should sound like to what it actually needs to sound like, if you
and
know what I mean.
That's really important with We Were Rocky too, because some of the songs were rewritten for the show and have different lyrics and completely
they
different
were.
Meanings.
So, for example, Radio Gaga, like some of the words in that are changed.
Screwed with my head trying to learn those.
I know.
So different to the original.
I was actually listening to Radio Gaga the other day, and I started singing along to it. And I was like, "Wait, why? Why is he singing the wrong words?" I'm like, "No, like he's not. Like it's fine. It's me."
Yeah. Amazing. So let's shift from rocking out to rocking out with Six. What was your introduction to this show? How did you find out about it?
So I actually, when I was doing Rock You, the soundtrack for Six got released, but it was only when they released X Wives. So it was just one track, and I would listen to it on Spotify. One of my uni friends texted me and was like, "Beck, have you heard the new song from Six?" I was like, "No, I haven't." So I listened to it and I was like, "I want to do this." And I was literally waiting for the whole soundtrack to be released. And when it did, I was obsessed. And I was like, "I have to be in this musical. Like, this is incredible."
Yeah.
So when I got home from Rock You, I remember I was sitting at my table. I was doing some admin work and I saw an email come up and it was like, "Audition for Six." And I was like, oh my God, the moment's come. So I had that. And then, so yeah, I kind of was like obsessed with the show right from the outset. And then, yeah, I was very lucky to get an audition for it. And then it went from there. And then the next thing I knew, I'd been offered the part and I was like, "What is going on? Like, how has this happened?"
Listening to the recording and geeking out over the recording for a while, who were you most drawn to? Who did you want to play? Were you always a Howard?
See, no, I never saw myself as a Howard initially. Like, I was and still am obsessed with Cleves. I think she's just the most fierce, most powerful, like, woman ever. And I cannot explain to you the feeling on stage when you're doing Get Down.
Yeah.
And you walk forward and you say, "Woof." Like, honestly, that moment will never get old. I feel like the baddest person ever. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it. So she... When I initially listened to the whole soundtrack, her song stood out the most for me, just because there's just, even like that simple like bass line at the beginning, it just gets me going. I'm like, "Oh, I'm ready for this. I'm ready." The whole soundtrack's incredible, but the one that really stood out to me was Get Down.
There we go. That's cool. What was it like after getting the call? Actually, let's go into the call. So, what do you still remember the moment that you got the call saying, "Yeah, hey, you're a queen now. Congratulations."
When I'm not performing, I teach musical theatre, and I was on my way to teach a class of 4 to 7 year olds. And I remember I pulled up in the park, my agent rang me, and I saw the call come through, and my heart, because I knew I was awaiting the call to see if I got it or not. Always. Can you hear me? It says my internet connection is unstable. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you. It's all good. We've got red bars, so we might drop out for a little bit, but it's okay. All good. Keep going.
So I was in and I saw the call come through and I was like, "Oh, this is the moment I'm waiting for. This is what I'm waiting for." And I answered and he was like, "Hey, Becca, just an update." And he was like, "So I was just wondering, like, if you could play any queen, who would you want to play?" And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Wouldn't you Catherine Howard?" And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "What would you say if you got offered it?" And I was like, "Stop messing with me. What's going on?" And he was like, "You've been offered it." And I was like, "Ah!" And I immediately started crying. And I was like, "I literally have to go and teach this class of babies right now," like with tears streaming down my face. And I walked in, and like all of my kids, like when I put the phone down and I went to set up the class, and all my kids came in. And they was like, Becca, why are you crying? I was like, I'm not crying, like, I'm just so happy. And they was like, what's going on? And I had to teach an entire 2-hour class, just like ecstatic inside, like screaming at all these kids because I was so excited. Everyone was like, what's going on? So yeah, that was that moment.
So going into rehearsals, did you know any of the other girls that you were going to be sharing the thrones with?
So quite a few of them I'd met in the audition process. In the last rounds of the auditions, you have like workshop sessions. So we kind of all saw each other,
yeah.
But like nobody really knew each other that well at the moment. Apart from, I kept in contact after the audition with Lucy, who plays Berlin in our cast.
Yeah.
And we was messaging back and forth, like asking if either of us had heard anything yet. And then obviously we both heard, and we'd both been offered. So we'd been chatting, and then we met up a couple of times before we actually went. So it was nice because we already really knew somebody like before we went.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. So we all knew of each other, and like we all knew like who each other was and who was playing who. But we immediately, once rehearsal started, it's like we knew each other all our lives. Like we just instantly gelled as a group. And like we still speak now every day. Like they're like sisters. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's great.
How do you explain hearing the songs come together for the first time? Like that first sing through that you had and just hearing everyone's voices meld together?
It honestly is like, they're like moments you'll just never forget, and like in life, especially when like each of us all had like a massive passion to do the show.
Yeah.
So like, especially when you have that desire, and then when you hear like it all come into life, and like when you first run, like when we first ran Ex-Wives and sang it and did the whole number, like it's so overwhelming, but not in a bad way, and obviously like such a happy way, because you're like, oh my god, like we're actually doing this show.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful memory, and like, yeah, it's amazing. And we was all like just counting our blessings to be there, and it's a moment you'll never forget.
Amazing. Did you guys do your rehearsals in Tampa?
Yes, we did. Yeah, in amazing Tampa.
So what's life like away from home, learning a show, ready to go on a cruise ship?
It's, for me, like I come from a very like family orientated home. Like I love my family so much and my friends. So when I first got offered Rock You, which was the year before, and that was a year away from home, I was really apprehensive about that, and I was like, oh my god, I don't know if I can do a year from home.
Yeah.
But when you go away for such a long period of time, that the people that you're working with, they become a family.
Yeah.
And you become so reliant on them, and of course you still miss home, and you still miss like the normality of things, and like normal land life instead of like ship life. You become such a close unit that like you get each other through it, and like even on your down days, like there is always somebody there who picks you up.
Yeah.
And if I'm being honest, like I didn't really have many times where I was down, because I was like, I'm just so grateful to be like traveling the world as part of my job, performing in these amazing shows, meeting all these amazing people from all around the world. Like I have friends now who live all over the shop, and although that's sad because we don't get to see each other all the time, like it's an amazing excuses for holidays that I can, you know, book a flight to New York and go and see my best friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have each other, and like that's your core foundation for the time you're away.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. So learning this show, I'm going to touch on a couple of different things. What was your favourite moment in the show to learn and put together?
Favourite moment to learn? That's a hard one. I'm going to say, for me, Ex-Wives was my favourite to learn. I think because that was the first thing we learned from the show.
Yeah.
So obviously like your adrenaline's just pumping, and yeah, I think, and because that's when obviously when each queen is established, that's just a really exciting moment in the show. Like the opening is so powerful, and like when you get the first boom boom, and like you're in your chest, and you're like, oh, I'm cut, it's ready, it's ready, it's ready. So yeah, that was probably my most, that was probably my favorite moment in the show to learn.
Amazing. Favorite choreography to learn?
Get Down.
There wasn't even a second of thought there.
I know. There's just that number in specific. It's just like, obviously every number has like a different flair of choreography. Like there's like different styles in every number. But for Get Down, it's just so, it's like really commercial, really hip hop. And it's just, again, it just goes back to Cleese. Like it's such a fierce number. And like, it's just... it feels really empowering to be a part of. I know that can sound quite weird, just like on a choreography basis, but the choreography is incredible from start to finish. But in that specific number for me, like it's so exciting, like performing that number every single show. And that's just, the choreography is spot on.
Amazing. Before we go onto a deep dive with Howard, what character did you find easier to connect more to or find yourself in between Scarra and Howard?
Ooh, that's a hard one because like character-wise, they're so different.
Yeah.
But they also have a lot of, that's really hard.
It's a weird kind of Venn diagram with the two because they have some things in common like character-wise, but also they're polar opposites in other...
Initially, I'm gonna say Scarra. Like that was kind of an immediate connection with Scarra, like because of like the dry wit and like her sarcasm kind of like resembles really well with me. That's kind of like who I am as a person, and a lot of my humor comes from sarcastic, witty comments. And that is the same with Howard. I mean, in her monologue, she does have a lot of like savage comments. But then I think with Howard, as the process went on, and as you learn, because there's so much more to Howard than meets the eye, then like when you listen to the soundtrack, you think it's just like, it's a happy pop song, like, and it's, you know, it's all la-di-da. But when you actually like really listen and really start to understand the character, that it is so meaningful. And I think a lot of people connect with that song more than they initially think. Like when you really listen to the lyrics and especially when you watch the show, and you see the journey that Howard goes on.
Yeah.
And it is a really detailed journey. Like that song is a marathon. Like there is so much to it.
Yeah.
And so for me, as the process went on and I was learning more about Howard, I was like, wow, I actually have so much to relate to with this character, like so much to relate to, not character, queen, sorry. I think with Scarra, it was more of an initial, yes, I can really relate to her. Whereas with Howard, it was more of a, I really enjoyed the process of Howard and learning who she was, what she was about, and her journey.
What was something that you learnt about Howard that you were either surprised with or was like, well, that is really cool?
So for me, like, just, I had really fun taking a different, so you know when you hear about all like the men that she had relationships with, and immediately you just assume she was, you know, she liked to dabble around. But when you actually start to really read into it and you can get a different take on it, and it's actually it was really heartbreaking. I mean, me and Franny, who is our director, the amazing Franny, we had many talks about Howard, and there was this one moment in rehearsals where I actually got so upset, like so upset, because like the things that Howard went through, they're so relevant to today, like so extremely relevant.
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand, like, some of the exercises we did, like whilst learning All You Want to Do, like they were really, really intense.
Yeah.
But they needed to be that level of intense, because you to understand so strongly like that what she went through. And it was like, it's heartbreaking. Like it is so heartbreaking. So for me, I didn't expect to be that taken back by it and to be that emotional about it.
Yeah.
So that was really, really, really interesting, and something I enjoyed very much.
Really, I, lo- very much. I love that. And you summed it up really well. I've had this discussion. We've had nearly every Howard from nearly every cast on here at some point. And mm-hmm. we all go into that emotional state because I was one of those people, you definitely don't pick it up on off the recording. Like the way that it's recorded, they've done a fantastic, and Jody touched on this a couple of weeks ago, the way that they've recorded the show, the soundtrack is just so different to what the show is because you don't get that emotional depth mm-hmm. and character development properly in the soundtrack. And I remember the first time I saw it stage, I was like, oh, okay.
Me too.
Honestly, I get this show now. Like, so let's talk about, from an acting perspective, because Scarra has some deep moments in We Will Rock You as well. How do you, but mainly for Howard, because you had to go to such an emotional kind of place to connect with some of the elements in this show. How do you draw the line in between kind of work and home so you don't kind of take it home with you, dwell on it, and drive yourself into kind of a hard place to work?
It's just something like as an actor.
Oh, just give me a sec, Beck, if you can hear me. All right, we're just going to wait for a second, clear all the airwaves. And we've just gone red again. Just give it a sec. All right, you should be good to go now.
Yeah. So as an actor, like you do tend to use past experiences and past emotions to help like enhance the build of your character. But I just think it's just important to know that you can just dab into it, and you shouldn't rely on that to be your character. It should just be something that, not remind you, but yeah, I guess does essentially remind you of what it feels like. So as I think, so when you're in performance, it's just something you have to be aware of, that you can't delve into that past experience or something. You just have to remember what that emotion felt like, but not read the story, but just kind of remember it, and then you can use that. I think when you're in performance, it's kind of subconscious, like you wouldn't. Like when you're so in that, you don't really have time to think about anything else apart from who you're playing in that specific moment in time. Because otherwise, you just completely take yourself out of the scene, and you know, it can not only affect your performance, but it can affect everybody else's performance on stage because you're completely in a different world to what your character is, or for this example, what your queen is in. It's important just to know that you have to dab in and dab out. Like, you can't rely on that.
Amazing. I love that. That summed my question up perfectly. So life on board a cruise ship, how did you go with ship life?
I really, really did love it. You know, like, performing is obviously the biggest perk of the job, but also like you get to see the most amazing places, and you're essentially traveling the world whilst performing in your dream show. And it's like, what more could you possibly want? Like, it's another life. It's a complete different life. And ship life isn't for everyone. But for me personally, I loved it. Like, it was great. You're with your friends 24/7. Like, you're just literally having the best time. And like in port days, like, you can get off and you can go and explore these amazing places that you go to. And then when you're not getting off the ship, you're doing amazing shows. So it's like, it's a win-win all the time.
Amazing. What was the favorite port that you visited?
Favorite port I visited. This isn't really that much of an interesting, but I just personally loved it. Like, I would love to live there. Boston, in America. Ooh. Yeah, we did Boston a few times. And it's so beautiful, like so beautiful. And I just really enjoyed exploring that place. And I think that's actually something that I would really love to live. My favorite place.
Shout out to all the Massachusettsians. That's definitely not what you guys are, but shout out to you guys for have an amazing city. So where was I going? Oh, yes, here. Let's talk about the abrupt end to the contract that was coronavirus and everything that kind of led us to here. What was it like for you guys on board?
It was really heartbreaking. So we had literally just got on board and we did our opening night. And then the morning after our opening night, we all got told that we would be sent home. And then after that, we had to do another two shows that evening. And it was just really sad because, like, the adrenaline you get from opening that show. And as I said earlier, like, we all had such a passion for this show. And, you know, I loved the girls so much. And we had the most amazing time performing that show. And it was just so sad that it ended so abruptly. But we just had to tell ourselves that, you know, we're not the only ones going through this. This is a global tragedy. And so many people across the world have lost their jobs to this, you know. And it's affected so many people. So we just had to keep telling ourselves that we'll be back. Like, this isn't permanent. Like, this is a temporary thing. And we're not the only ones experiencing some form of loss or some form of heartbreak, you know. There are a lot worse things going on. And we just had to keep saying to ourselves that we had an amazing experience and it's one that we'll never forget. And it's not over. Like, it's not over yet. Like, we're going to go back. We're going to finish doing the show. We just don't know when. But in that, during the time, we just have to remember that we was very lucky and very fortunate to be able to be a part of, you know, the Six Queendom and the Six community and actually have the opportunity to perform the shows that we did, even though it was only four shows. Four of the most amazing shows we've ever been a part of. So we just have to stay really grateful and count ourselves lucky that we had that opportunity given to us.
Amazing. I love that mindset that you've got. And shout out to Sam, who was your company manager, am I correct?
Amy B, yes. She is an angel sent from above. I have never, ever, ever come across a stage manager like Sam. She is an absolute pleasure to be around, honestly. Like, when we had really, like, long rehearsal days and we was all so tired, Sammy B would always pick everyone up, always. We actually, like, would sing songs for her. Like, we would sing chants for her. Like, we love her. But unfortunately, she wasn't going to be our stage manager on the ship. She was only there for rehearsals and for install. But yeah, she's an amazing woman, and we all love her. We all love her dearly.
And if you don't follow the Bliss 2.0 account, please go and do it now. Because
yes, go follow the Bliss 2.0.
Quarren Queen thing that is going on over there or has been on is fantastic.
That is so much fun.
So talk me through, you only did a couple of shows with Six, but this can delve into Scarra as well. What do you have a set kind of pre-show routine that you go through before every show?
Yeah, so I kind of follow quite a strict one, and if I miss something, I get really agitated.
Are you a superstitious performer?
Yeah, I think I am. Yeah. I really think I am. So before, it's just like little things as well. Like, I have a specific warm up that I do before. So I warm up and then I'll go to the group warm up. I like to do my own things because I kind of like know what my voice needs to be vocally warm. So I do that first. I always have a lemon and ginger tea with a squirt of honey in. I always steam. I have like a little sippy cup steamer that I always have to do before every show. And specifically for Rock You, I had a very specific order of people that I would. So before every show, I always wished everybody good luck, and it was at the same time every single show, and it was in the same order of people. And honestly, one time my friend Charlie, he didn't say good luck in the right order, and it freaked me out big time. I was like, oh my god, I need to start again, and I need to go around and say good luck to everyone in the right order. And for some reason, it just, I've never done that before. Like, I've never been that serious about anything, but I think because I literally started it from the first show and then I just kept doing it. And then it became this thing that I couldn't not do. And like, if I started to forget, I'd literally jump out of my chair and run really quickly to go say good luck to everybody. But yeah, like everyone always knew it as well. Everyone always knew it was coming because it was literally at the exact same time for every show, like the exact same time. So yeah, that was quite a weird one for Rock You. But yeah. Yeah, I always like to get into my zone as well. I like to give myself like 5 minutes just where I'm on my own. I used to just sit in the corridor. So we'd have our dressing rooms and I just used to sit in the corridor outside our dressing rooms just for 5 minutes. I just like to sit there and just not talk to anybody and just really like get into a zone. I don't like to be distracted before a show. I like to be really like focused.
Yeah,
so that's that.
Talk me through seeing The Pink for the first time and getting to see it all come together.
Honestly, when I first saw The Pink ponytail, I was like, I'm dyeing my hair pink right this second. They put it in, I was like, that's it, my hair is pink now, I'm never being brown again. Obviously, I didn't dye it. But for some reason, like, just putting that long pony in, I felt like a new woman, and like, I was living in that ponytail. And then when the costume got made and I was fitted into the costume, it was just like, it just didn't feel real because there's so much like personal detail that goes into each of the costumes, like the costume designs, and they are genius. Like, they are so genius and they are so specific. And it honestly, it was just like an amazing, like, because we had our initial costume fitting quite a few months before we left. I had mine in London, and it was kind of just like a mock-up that they make first. And even just seeing the mock-up, I was like, oh my god, this is like, the amount of detail that they're putting into this is crazy. And then you have quite a few costume fittings, and then when the final product gets put onto you, it's just like, oh my god, it was so beautiful. And again, so overwhelming, like, especially because, you know, you see all these photos on Instagram of all the queens and all the queens' costumes, and they just look so beautiful. But when you're in person and when that actual costume is put onto you, it's like, oh my good God, I'm an actual queen. Like, it's such an amazing feeling. It's such an amazing feeling. But yeah, and I get to wear these pink hoop earrings as well. And I love hoop earrings. So when I got some like pink ones, I was like, oh my god, this character is me. Yeah,
that is wonderful. Well, Beck, that wraps things up for us. That
amazing.
Thank you so much for coming and hanging out.
Thank you for having me. I've had so much fun.
I've had an abundance of fun. That was a weird way of saying that, but queens, you know what time it is. If you guys want to go follow Becca, scroll down, hit the link down below, go show her some love, please do. You know where to find me. That is Oz Queendom and the Queendom Cast. I nearly forgot my own app. And yeah, we will wrap things up with this last question. Having things cut short, actually, we've got two questions. What's your favorite memory of this whole experience?
Just meeting the girls and meeting the creative team, like, made friends for life, like, completely made friends for life. I think when it's quite an overwhelming thing when you go into a room of all women, like, there's the whole creative team, the whole cast, everyone is a woman. And you know, I've never worked on a show that involves that before, you know, as I'm guessing probably not a lot of people have. But honestly, that whole experience of working with only women is so empowering. Oh my goodness, I've never been involved in a process before or in a room before where the women just support and love each other so much. And there was no negative vibes. Like, everyone was so positive, and it was such a beautiful experience. And that is something that I will take with me forever, and I am so humbled and so grateful to be able to work with such beautiful, inspiring women. Like, just amazing.
And that leads me into this question, which I probably should have started with before that one. Being away from everybody and having things cut short, what's the biggest thing you miss about Six?
I guess it's kind of the same answer.
Yeah.
and it's such a shame because we literally from the first day we all met, it was just laughter continuously, and with the creative team as well, and with Sam and with everybody who was involved, every single person got along. And you know, it was special. It was such a special experience. And I miss seeing the girls. I miss seeing the creative team. I miss performing the show. I miss being surrounded by beautiful women. And I miss the whole concept of it. I miss everything about it. But that also just means that when we go back, it's going to be so magical, and it's going to be the most amazing feeling when we all get to perform that show again.
Yeah.
Because where we all love it and we all miss it so much, like that adrenaline, that fight when we go back is going to be so powerful. Yeah. I know we're all buzzing. We're all so excited to get back and just get back to being together.
I really want Six to kind of stagger the returns so I can do a world tour and see everyone's first shows, because
see every single one of them.
It's going to be intense. It's just going to be
we haven't actually touched on this, but I'm just going to throw it out there anyway.
That's okay.
I think my another favorite thing about Six is that you can see like every single performance of Six around the world, and I can guarantee there'll be something mentally different about it. Like, one thing that I love is that you're encouraged to not follow another queen's interpretation. Like, you're really encouraged to find your own take on her, and to bring your own essence to the queen. And that's what I enjoy. Like, when you go and see all these different performances, you're like, oh my God, I've never thought of doing it like that. Or, oh my God, that's such an interesting take on it. And I just think, again, I think that is just another thing about the show that is just so, so well done and so intelligent and, again, so beautiful.
That's an even better note to wrap this episode up on right there. Queens, please go show Becca some love. All her ats are down below. Beck, we can't wait to see you and your girls slay it back on stage.
Thank you. We can't wait.
All this is over. And Queens, hit that subscribe button, because you do not want to miss out next week with a brand new episode of the Queen of Podcast. This is where we'll be, and we will see you then. Bye, Queens.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.